I invite you to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 5 as we continue on in our worship and focus in the Word for a few minutes. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19 this morning, and there is in the bulletin outline which will go along with the sermon and the PowerPoint if you find that helpful. We're continuing our series in Deuteronomy, looking at the Ten Commands, the Ten Principles, and trying to understand how to relate to them today. We've seen for the past several weeks as we've looked at this that the point of the whole law from a New Covenant, a New Testament perspective is that the Lord loves us and He's given us His principles, His commands for us to follow to show that we love Him. And thereby enjoying His blessings. He tells us that He blesses obedience. He's able to bless us and prosper and encourage us when we obey Him. And so we understand from a New Testament perspective that this is the point of the whole law. Would you take a moment and pray with me as we move into God's Word? Father, we are thankful, so thankful for Jesus, that You sent Him to be our sin offering, or to provide for us forgiveness of sin and atonement, the covering that we ourselves could not provide. And we thank You, Lord, that by His covering, by His grace, we are saved, we are forgiven, we are Yours. Lord, help us now as we look in Your Word, in this particular command, to understand it and apply it to our lives, Lord, that we might express our hearts that we love You, Lord, that we're obeying Your Word. Jesus, You told us, if You love me, You will obey me. And so, Lord, we seek to do that this morning. By Your Holy Spirit, may You open our hearts and our minds. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I read the other day on the internet about a London man who has been the victim of 15 car thefts over the past 8 years. Now, that's some bad luck right there. The first four cars he owned were all stolen. One of them was returned, only to be stolen again. And just this year, this man was called down to the police station to pick up one of the DVD players that had been stolen out of a car and then recovered, so he went down to pick it up. While he was in the police station, his car was stolen. Now, that's some really bad luck. I think this guy should get a warning sign on his car. This car is protected by a pit bull or something like that, you know? This man was the object of someone's stealing, someone's thievery. And we read here in verse 19 of the commands, in Deuteronomy 5:19, it says simply and straightforwardly, "You shall not steal." You shall not steal. God says to us, His people, He says, "My people, you shall not steal." I think the main point as we look at this verse, and what I want to say to us this morning is this, that the main point is that the Lord has promised to provide for all of our needs. Therefore, we are not to steal that which belongs to another. How do we know that the Lord has provided? Well, Matthew 6, He's promised to provide for us in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. You know the Scripture. He says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For pagans, those who do not believe in God, run after these things. And, watch this, your heavenly Father knows you need them." God doesn't want you to be without. He knows that you have basic needs. I have basic needs. He wants you to have them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God's promised to provide for your basic needs. Not your wants, not your desires, not always, but your basic needs. Therefore, since God has provided that promise and will provide our basic needs, we are not to steal anything that belongs to another person. Well, what does it mean to steal? In the Hebrew, the word means to take or carry away by deception. To take or carry away by deception. And so there is built into this definition, this understanding of stealing, is to take or carry away something by deceiving. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that's pretty straightforward. You know, we are not to steal. And, okay, we won't steal. Well, let's talk about this for a few minutes. Let's talk for a few minutes about how we do sometimes steal. We might not call it stealing, but it is stealing nonetheless. Let's talk about it for just a few minutes. So this would be under number one, how we steal. Number one, A, or number A, letter A rather, is taking things without earning or paying for them. That's really the straightforward application of the meaning of steal, right? Taking things without earning them or paying for them. Stealing things outright. When I was my last year of high school, I worked at a hospital in the town that I grew up. Worked in the kitchen of the hospital. And there was a lot of different characters worked together in that kitchen. And I was one of them. But amongst these characters, there was one cook. And almost every day, this one cook would go into the freezer, he would unbutton his shirt, and he always kind of wore a loose-fitting white chef's shirt, cook shirt, and he would stuff his shirt and kind of make it around him with big, fat steaks. And then he would walk out. He was stealing. Now, that's outright stealing, right? And you say, oh, that's terrible. Well, you know, we steal too. Sometimes we deceive or cheat customers. Sometimes we overcharge. That's all a part of it. 3,000 years ago, this was a problem. In fact, one of the prophets, Amos charged the people of Israel with such stealing. He says this in Amos 8:5. He says, they overcharge. They use false measures. They fix the scales to cheat customers. Sounds like today. Somehow this issue of stealing in this way by deceiving and cheating customers has been around a long time and is perpetuated. What are some other ways that you would deceive or cheat a customer? Well, when a repairman makes unnecessary repairs. A few months ago, I took one of our vehicles in for an oil change. And I took it to a place across the bridge, and I won't use the name. And I just wanted a simple oil change. So they did the oil change, and when it came time to pay for the oil change, the mechanic came over to me and said, Mr. Leonard, I'd like to just show you a couple things. He said, you have a few items that are going to need attention in your car. And he went on to say, in the front end of your car, the CV joint, there's a boot that covers that. It's a rubber boot, and he says, it's cracked. And if you leave it like that, then dirt and grime will get into that joint and will ruin the joint. So you really need to take care of having that repaired. Well, I wasn't prepared to do that day. And this is my first try at this particular company. So I said, well, I appreciate that. We'll attend to it in due time. I happened to take it to another mechanic to follow up on that right here on the island. And I even told them what the issue was. And a while later, they called me and they said, Mr. Leonard, we can't find anything on your car. It's fine. There's no crack in the boot. It's perfectly fine. Now, that's the difference between a dishonest mechanic who is trying to, you know, get a repair that wasn't necessary and an honest mechanic who could have taken advantage of the fact that I thought there was a repair needed, but he chose not to do that and said to me, there is no crack in your boot. You don't need any repair. Isn't that amazing? It happens all the time. Every day occurrence. This is how often customers are cheated. It's stealing. Repair people making unnecessary repairs. Another way, someone contracts for work and they take the money and then they don't do the work, don't finish the work, don't do it properly. That's stealing. When a doctor makes unnecessary tests to pad the fees, that's stealing. When a salesman skips over the fine print, I had that happen to me. We had this is several years ago, not here in this community, but we had a church member who came, and they were part of this particular sales program, and they came to us. They wanted to present their product, and so we graciously agreed. And you know, we said to them up front, we said, you know, now we'll be glad to buy some of this product, but understand we really are not interested in becoming, you know, salespeople or, you know, becoming part of this process. We made that very clear up front. Well, you know, the supervisor of this young lady who was just starting out was with her, and we said this in her presence. So, you know, we filled out some paperwork to buy the product, and a week goes by, and we receive a big shipment, a big order, and it says, your next order will be here, and if you sell such and such amount, then we'll replace that order. And it's like, wait a minute now, wait a minute. And so I had to call this young lady up and said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but your supervisor was deceitful. We specifically said we do not want to get involved with selling this product. We wanted to support you and buy this particular product to support you, but we're not interested in this. Please tear up this contract and tell your supervisor we don't appreciate that she was dishonest. When you don't read the fine print, when you don't tell a customer all the facts, when you're not honest and upfront, that's stealing. You are taking something by deception. So that's kind of some straightforward things. And the Lord says, that's stealing. Don't do that. Thou shalt not steal. B, here's another way. Defrauding employers. Now, I'm not just talking about employee theft, which, you know, is just outright where you pad your expense account, or you take home supplies, you take home equipment, you take home merchandise. You know, even if you take home a pencil that doesn't belong to you, that's still stealing. Now, have I taken home pencils or pens that belong to the church? Yes, I have. I admit it. In fact, here's one of them right here. I'm not talking about, you know, you forget something and you have a pen in your pocket. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You take an item from your employer, from your business, from your company that you know doesn't belong to you. Oh, but, you know, they don't care. Right? That's stealing. That's stealing. I'm also talking about this. When you waste time on the job, you are stealing time from your employer. If somebody's paying you for your time to work, and you come in late, you leave early, you take three coffee breaks and a long lunch, guess what? There's not a whole lot of time left to work. And you're being paid 8 hours, you need to put in 8 hours. If you're being paid 10 hours, you need to put in 10 hours work. When I was working years ago, this is right after we got married and we were living in Gaithersburg, I worked for a company called ServiceMaster. We do carpet cleaning and that kind of stuff. And we hired this fellow named Richard. And Richard had started coming to our church, and he actually had been trained by commercial ServiceMaster, and so this is going to be a great fit, you know, good worker. And we would go to a customer's home, and we would do the job, but then Richard would start gabbing with the customer. And, you know, Richard, he liked art, and invariably, he would get involved with the customer with some discussion about artwork, and, you know, we're over here packing up equipment, and here he is, yak, 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 yak. And I'd have to say to him very often, Richard, you really need to come and get back to work here. Now, does he understand that that was stealing? No, but it nonetheless is. You are taking away from time that you're supposed to be working. If you like to talk, as I do, I want to encourage you, do that on your own time. Don't talk on your employer's time, because you are doing something that you want to do. It's not work. You're stealing time from them. In Colossians 3:23, it says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. We ought to be working as unto the Lord. Whatever our job is, whether we're waiting tables, or whether we're working for a corporation, whatever it is, we ought to do it, it says, with all our heart. Not working as unto man, but working unto the Lord. So whoever you're working for, you're actually working for God. He's your big boss. You're working for God. C. Another way that we often steal is delaying payments. Leviticus 19:13. Don't take advantage of anyone. Don't hold back the wages of a hired man, not even for one night. If you're an employer and you have employees, or you have suppliers, or even a friend, and you owe them some money, don't say the check's in the mail. Pay them. Pay what you owe. I often will hear, and we just have to deal with this an awful lot, where someone would work for their wages, and then, you know, they wouldn't get paid. And when I worked down in North Carolina, this happened several times where a painting contractor would hire workers to do the painting job, and the contractor would get paid, and he wouldn't pay his workers. And all of a sudden, the workers are showing back up on the site, and they're saying, you know, where's our money? And we say, I'm sorry, we paid your employer, we paid your contractor. Well, he didn't pay us, you know. And you know what? There were several times my boss, who was a Christian, was such a good-hearted man that he actually paid the workers some of their wages because their boss had run off with the money. Isn't that pathetic? And some of them claimed to be Christians. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They talked the talk, but there was no walk. So don't delay payments. Here's something, a dishonest business strategy. Some businesses do this. They say, I'll bill all my customers immediate billing, but I'll pay my invoices in 180 days. That way I'll have their capital to use for my account. That's stealing. It's their money. You owe them their money, it's theirs. And you need to pay them. They have a right to make a profit on it, and interest on it, and do whatever they want to do with their money. You owe it to them. See, we have an idea that somehow, when something is owed to somebody, it's really not their money. Yes, it is. When you incur a debt, when you incur a fee, that money's no longer yours. Here's something that happens with Christians. Very often, we incur a debt. Oh, I'm going to go one step further and make it very clear. There have been Christians who have had their children enrolled here at Lighthouse Christian Academy. And they sometimes will make payments. And at the end of the year, often the school has had to address this with certain parents where they've not paid their school bill. Oh, well, you know, financially having a hard time. Oh, guess what? They've gone off on vacation. They've incurred a debt. They've made a word, a promise to pay a fee. And, you know, what makes us think that it's right to ignore that? But, oh, hey, I'm going to go down to Myrtle Beach and spend my money down there. That's not your money. You are spending their money. And there's been many Christians that have done that here. And I've said to the administration here, I said, go talk to their pastor. Go talk to their pastor and let their pastor know what's going on with that. Whether they follow through that, I don't know. So, you know, defaulting on loans. Excuse me, I ran ahead of myself. Next one is D, defaulting on loans. This is very similar. Psalm 37:21. The wicked man borrows and never pays back. Ooh, that's tough. A lot of people have no intention of paying back when they borrow. There's an old saying, right? Never a borrower or a lender be. Well, that might be good American, you know, wisdom, but that's not scriptural. Scripturally, it says, if someone asks of you, give to them. Now, what does that mean? It means if you can give to that person without expecting repayment, then do it. But, you know, don't make a loan, because if you do that, first of all, you're going to be disappointed. Most people are not going to pay it back. That's usually some of the deacons who have handled the benevolent fund have heard that, you know. And we never give with the expectation of being paid back. We don't want you to pay it back. It's a gift. We want you to receive this as a gift. So if you can do that with someone, do it. But don't make it a loan. On the other hand, if you make a loan with somebody, then you have to pay it back. It's your word to pay it back. And, you know, sometimes the worst loans are made to friends and relatives. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding, only the debt of love. We are to repay what we borrow. There's no legitimate excuses. Even if you go into bankruptcy, it may resolve you of that crisis and the pressure right there, but whatever debts you've incurred, you are still responsible for them. Whatever debts you've incurred, you are responsible for them. It doesn't matter, you know, legally what anyone says. It's a moral law of the Lord. We have to pay our debts. This applies not only to money loans, but anything borrowed. Tools, CDs, books, boat, anything. Especially if you've been asked for it back. What's in your garage or what's in your house that you need to go home and return to somebody? See, God doesn't believe in long-term borrowing. He calls that stealing. Some of you have a lot of other people's stuff. God says, that's wrong, give it back. We need to be prompt and courteous if we borrow something from somebody. Now, if they say, hey, you know, you can have it, great. It's not an issue anymore. But if we're borrowing something, we ought to be prompt to give it back. E, deceiving the government. I know. Step on everybody's toes here. Ah, the government's not worthy of our taxes. I understand. I'm going to gripe right along with you. But the Scripture says to pay your taxes. Not paying your taxes is stealing. Romans 13:6-7. So this is why you pay taxes. The authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then pay revenues. See, We can't just throw that out because we don't like it. There's no reason we should overpay on taxes, and you should take, feel free to take every legal and ethical deduction. There's nothing wrong with that. But to just say, you know, I'm just not going to pay my taxes, I don't believe it's fair. God says that's stealing. So any of these apply to you out there? Any of these touched on a nerve? There's one honest person. Now, we've got to go a step further. We're not just to feel bad about these things when God brings His Word to us. We're not just to feel bad about it and say, oh, no, you know, you're right, I'm terrible. No, we're also called to make restitution. We are called to make right what we're doing wrong or what we've done wrong. So, some of us here, we need to go and send a money order to the one we owe. We need to send a money order to the IRS. Maybe you need to send a money order back to your employer. And you can write on the money order or put a note with it and say, I am making restitution for, and name your sin. Right? Confession. Name your sin and say, because I am a follower of Jesus Christ and I want to do what's right. And then you have to sign it with your name if you don't want to, but you can put under there a cleared conscience. A cleared conscience. And you know what? You can't pay enough money, any money, for a cleared conscience. You can't. A person with a clear conscience, as the Scripture says, is a powerful and effective person. Because they cannot be charged with wrongdoing. They know. And so we, as the followers of Christ, have to have a clear conscience. And the freedom and the joy that comes from that is incredible. So we're called to make restitution. You need to give those items back. You need to pay for that which you owe. You need to make good on that loan. And you need to stop wasting your employer's time. It's stealing. Well, there's one more, and we're going to touch on it, but we're going to save that for a whole other sermon. F, defrauding the Lord of tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:8. God asks this, will a man rob God? And yet you rob me. But you ask, you say, how do we rob you? God says, in tithes and in offerings. Now, under the Old Covenant, it was required for God's people to pay tithes and additionally offerings. It was required for them. It was laid out in the law. And it was not only 10% of their income, but they also had to pay a temple tax, 12%. They actually paid 22% of their income. Required. And if you didn't pay it, they would send the guards out. And that's why you see in the New Testament where, you know, there's always this question about paying taxes. Should we pay taxes? Should we pay taxes to Caesar, who is beyond our temple tax and our tax to God, so to speak? Well, under the old covenant, it's required. Under the new covenant, hear me, it's voluntary. You give your tithes, you give offerings because you want to. Not because you have to. God's not going to lay down the law on you, say, if you don't do this, man, I'm going to squash you. No. He wants you to do it because you want to. And so we'll spend a whole nother sermon on that one because there's a lot to that. And I didn't put it in the same category because it's not stealing from man. It's withholding from God. We'll deal with that separately. So to wrap up with the sermon today, number two, I want us to remember a few things as we think about ways that we may have been guilty of stealing. A, we are being watched by God and people. We are being watched by God and people. Hebrews 4:13. Jay Johns is going to read that for us.
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
Everything is uncovered and laid bare. I think sometimes the reason that we do some of the things we do sometimes is because we think it's hidden. And see, we can hide things from each other, right? Come here and put on the church face. How are you doing? Oh, doing great. Praise the Lord, you know. How's it going in your life? Well, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm struggling a little bit. I'm doing okay. Liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, a lot of times we're just not doing very well at all. We are failing in a lot of areas. And we don't want to tell anybody about it. We don't want people to know because, oh, what would they think if they knew about that? I hope I present to you an example as much as I possibly can, being transparent. This is not about, you know, trying to look good to each other. That is not what church is about. It's not about you coming and trying to look good for God because, number one, He knows you are not good. We are not good. Romans chapter 7. I know in my flesh is no good thing. So, understand in this congregation, it's already a foregone conclusion. We are not good. We are sinners. And we are seeking to follow after Christ and encourage and hold one another accountable. Judy talked a few minutes earlier about this discipleship series, Come Follow Me, which we're doing with the men. And part of the reason that we're doing this is discipleship, the missing element in discipleship is this today, and it's missing in the American church. It's called accountability. We don't want it. We resist it. We do not want to be accountable. We don't want to be accountable to God, and we don't want to be accountable to each other. And that's why we avoid. It is a plague. It is a blight upon the church. And you see, when you begin to get close enough to one another, where we begin to see things with each other, and we begin to speak into each other's life, ooh, man, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Now we're really starting to be real with one another. And guess what? It's not pretty. We see things with each other. And heaven forbid that someone should come and point something out to you. A brother or sister will come to you and say, man, you know, the way that you responded to your spouse, the way that you responded to your child the other day, whoo! And what is the first thing we do? Oh, hey, listen, I ain't perfect, man. You know, and just remember, you're not perfect either. Right? That's what we do. We throw the smoke screen up first thing. Well, wait a minute, I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, so the real message is you really have no right to say anything to me. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we are accountable to one another. In fact, it says, unless we encourage and hold one another accountable, we will not grow. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Just as you are doing, do it all the more. 1 Thessalonians. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Speak the truth in what? Speak the truth in what? Ah, there's the tempering factor. There's the balancing factor. Speaking to one another in love. So, God already knows all these things. He's already watching us. It's all laid bare before Him. We have to begin to be transparent with one another. We're being watched. So, if you're a parent, if you're married, you have a spouse, you're being watched by your parent, by your spouse. Parents, you're being watched by your kids. You're not only being watched by God, you're being watched by those around you, in your family. You see, values are not only taught, but they're caught. They're really more caught than taught. You can teach your kids, you know, stealing's wrong. But are you stealing? If you are, the message is lost. And don't think that your kids don't know. Kids are smart. They know. You can't fool them. What's your lifestyle communicating to your kids about this issue of stealing? Is there anything in my life that I'd be ashamed of if they knew it? You see, it's a wonderful heritage if you have honest parents, if you have a godly heritage there. One of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is integrity. Also, I'm being watched by unbelievers. Right? Scripture says that. 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. People around you are looking. Now, there's going to be people that you work with, your neighbors, friends, that are not believers. And they may not even like you, or they may disagree with your faith. But they will respect your integrity. And oppositely, if they see that you lack integrity, they see that you steal, they will not respect that. You have to be a good witness. We're called to be good witnesses. So, remember, A, that we're being watched. B, I'm going to reap what I sow. I'm going to reap what I sow, right? You've heard the phrase, what goes around comes around. How many of you heard that before? What goes around comes around. Did you realize that that's really, it's a paraphrase from right out of the Scripture? Yeah. It comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Ron Walters, read that for us.
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for all the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Amen. We reap what we sow. That's the spiritual principle. You know, I know that's an agricultural term, but we use that, you know, what goes around comes around. Whatever you do, you're going to reap it. And so if your life is filled with lack of integrity, why would you get upset when it comes around? We reap what we sow. We have to be people of integrity. Here's several things that cause us to think it's okay to steal. Greed. We want more. Right? We want more. And dishonesty can go all the way to the lottery. Some of you here feel it's okay to play the lottery. I'm not going to argue with you, but let me ask you a question. What are you really saying? You want to get something for doing nothing. You want to get something by not earning it, not deserving it. Now, our culture around us says that's okay. It's okay to play this lottery. It's okay to go play the slots. God says, really? He says, you're to make a living earning with your hands so that not only you can take care of your own needs, but you have something to share with others that are in need. Number C. See, dishonesty damages my character. I'm called to work honestly. Ephesians 4:28. I started to read that scripture. Dwayne, go ahead and read that for us. Ephesians 4:28.
He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need.
He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he should go out and gamble. Or he should go out and play the lottery. You see, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get something for nothing. We're trying to get something that without earning it, without deserving it. What are we trying to do? I'm not going to argue with you if you feel it's okay. You take that up with the Lord. So funny. I was in the station the other day and someone came in and they bought a lottery ticket and they said, "Oh man, I won $10. I said, "Really? That's great." I said, "How much did you spend to get $10? "I think I spent 20. Aren't we silly? You know, the scripture says if you are like the ant and you will be wise and productive and you save up, then you will have money. You will have money in the time of need. But we're trying to get something for nothing when we do that. And dishonesty damages my character and my witness. Others are looking and watching us. D, and this will be the last one. God says that He will reward my honesty. He will reward me. In this life and in eternity. Proverbs 28:20. Jay Johns again will read that for us.
A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished.
Now, when it means eager to get rich, basically means they'll do whatever they need to do to get rich, and typically do it on the backs of other people. They'll do it in dishonest means. But the man who is more concerned about pleasing God and obeying Him and representing Him to a watching world will be blessed. You can read it over and over and over again in the Scripture. God does promise great blessing and great reward for the one who is more concerned about what he thinks than the world thinks around us. And so God's word to us today is, people, I want you to be like me. Don't steal. Don't take that which does not belong to you. I will provide for all of your needs. I will give you what you need. But don't take that which belongs to another person. It's violating their rights, their needs. How many of you have been on the receiving end of having been stolen from? How does it feel? You feel violated, don't you? It makes you angry. You know, there's so many ways that you can get stolen. I haven't exhausted the list there. But think about that from the perspective of the person that we may be stealing from. I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart and not just the obvious big ways that we sometimes steal, but those small ways which we often excuse ourselves, justify ourselves for. And God says, don't do it. It's not worth it. It doesn't represent me. And I will not bless it. Let's pray. Father, as we look into the mirror of your word, Lord, we have to confess that it's painful. We see ourselves. We see areas of failure. We see in this command areas where we're not obeying, we're not following your command not to steal. And so, Lord, we ask that you will speak to our hearts and deal with us, Lord, in that we will take this to our heart. We will obey it. Some of us here need to make some changes. Some of us need to make restitution. And Lord, that is a joyful thing that we can represent you and that by so doing, we're pleasing you and we'll have a clear conscience, Lord. Father, as we're preparing now to go to the Lord's Supper, to celebrate communion together, to celebrate the beautiful thing that you have done for us through your Son Jesus. We want to have a clear heart, clear conscience. I want to invite each one of us in these few quiet minutes just to do business with God so that we can come to the table in a right way with our hearts clear. Let's take just a moment.